The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let's all say that together. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And if you found that place in your Bible, do we have it? We do. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word? And the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you now to, as you have met with us here already through music, the spirit that's in the room, we thank you for that. And God, I pray that you would help me today to convey the message of Jesus Christ in a way that no one would want to reject it. Thank you for your goodness, for this day that has changed everything in our lives. And we are so grateful. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A Christian church meets on Sunday because it's the first day of the week. It is the day that the discovery was made that Jesus was alive. Easter is the day that we celebrate the resurrection on, but truly every Sunday, just by meeting on Sunday, is the testimony of the death-defying feat that Jesus Christ was dead and is now alive. An old hymn that we used to sing was, I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. And the chorus is, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. I love that song. 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. We'll be going to it in a little bit, but the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to this book right here, according to the Scriptures. And it goes on and talks about that. Jesus Christ, this past week, if we had been there, a preacher friend of ours down in Florida has put together a play that I think he is showing this morning. And it's a modern day interview of the people that is the resurrection as it would be reported in the news today if the news were covering it. I haven't seen it. I think that would be very interesting. He's a very capable individual and I intend to watch it online if I can. But if we were alive today back then and we would have seen the events unfold where Jesus was betrayed by one of his own. And the betrayal was the type of thing where they wanted to take him, but those that hated him didn't even really know what he looked like. So they had to have someone point him out. And that one that pointed him out, his name was Judas. Judas is a word that you could use as a swear word if you cared to. That obviously, nobody, no offense, I don't know if anybody that ever named their boy Judas. I'd feel bad if they did, but I suppose whatever, it's a free country. But Judas is a name that brings up in Christians just this awful feeling of who would do that to our Savior. But Judas turned Christ in to the authorities, and he was arrested. The mob took him, and he went through a kangaroo court of Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate. We won't examine all that went on, but suffice it to say that you and I have seen some things of late where you expect courts to do certain things. And just because there are judges in place and people in power doesn't mean they're always going to do the right thing. And it was in the time of Jesus' day, and it's the time of our day, that said to say there is evil in mankind. Not every heart chooses correctly. And in that day, when Jesus was brought before the rulers, he was found guilty of things that he had never done. And Pilate, by his own testimony, said, I find no fault in this man. Say that with me. I find no fault in this man. Because there was none. But the political thing of the day, for Pilate to keep his power, to not go against the flow, so that he could stay in his position, he said, I know this isn't right, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to wash my hands of this. And so symbolically, he got out a basin of water, and he went to it, and he washed his hands of this that would make him innocent, which it did not. And he washed his hands of it. And he said, you guys go do what you want, or I washed my hands of this affair. But history records Pilate as being guilty of going along to get along. And it cost Jesus his life, but Pilate did not sentence him to death. Jesus gave his life freely to take our place. He was crucified with two other criminals. I am sorry to say that one of those criminals died in his sin. One died to his sin. As he hung on the cross that day, he said to Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't know all the events that took place that day. The Bible doesn't go into great detail of the conversation. We don't know exactly what that criminal was found guilty of, but he was worthy of death, and so they crucified him. And hanging on that cross, before he breathed his last breath, he looked and saw who Jesus Christ was, that he was truly an innocent man, God in the flesh, hanging on that cross. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. And he was. One died in his sin, one died to his sin, and one died for our sin. Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody says of that man that died to his sin, Did ever a new birth take place in so strange a cradle? In the morning, the thief was nailed to a cross. In the evening, he was wearing a crown. In the morning, he was the enemy of Caesar. In the evening, he was the friend of God. In the morning, he was spurned by men. In the evening, he was in fellowshipping with angels. In the morning, he died as a criminal on earth. In the evening, he was a citizen of heaven. What a change that a relationship with Jesus Christ can do. So what does belief in a risen Savior do for people in the year 2021? Well, number one, I believe it makes the impossible become possible. Genesis 18:14, this book right here, if you have your Bible or maybe you're looking at your Bible, this book right here from start to finish is a book on redemption. It is God getting our attention so that he can renew a broken relationship with us. See, sin cut us off from God. And when sin came into the world in the Garden of Eden, in that perfect place, from that point on, the Bible says that we would die. We would lose our ability to connect with Almighty God. And we did. And so from that point on, it is God's effort through Old Testament sacrifice, through the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, through preachers in the New Testament, is constantly, and if you will, this, we're not in the Bible, but the Cornerstone Baptist Church is a New Testament church connected to the New Testament in your Bible that is doing the same message that they were doing back then, is proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and trying so desperately to get your attention that you would choose him in your own personal life, that you can have a personal, not just some distant guy out there, that big guy up in the sky that once in a while pays attention. We're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you can know him, guys, like you know your wife, that you can know him, ladies, like you know your husband. I'm talking about someone that you can walk and talk with every day. You feel his presence. You know he is there, and he's the ultimate help in your life. That is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he wants desperately for you to have. And all through the Bible and all through your life, he's trying to get your attention if you've not chosen him yet, but you can this morning. And so here we are, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes the impossible become possible. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, there was a 90-year-old woman that God had promised that she would have a baby. Now, I'm not a doctor. I've not even played one on TV. But the fact is this, a 90-year-old's not having a baby. I'm just letting you know, if there's any 90-year-olds here, it's probably not going to happen. But God had made a promise to this woman named Sarah that you're going to have a baby. And he says in Genesis 18, 14, the question is asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. The impossible becomes possible through the resurrection. That 90-year-old had a baby. You can look up things online. If you know that or not, I don't recommend that you get your whole sermon from online, but you can get some of that. So I looked up, is it possible for the dead to come back to life? My favorite answer was, it is possible for the dead to come back to life, but there is a catch. They can't be too dead. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? They can't be too dead. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus is standing in a cemetery. Jesus, if you will, the argument can be made, his best friend Lazarus had gotten sick and died. And he'd been dead for 4 days. I think Lazarus was too dead by the Google definition. Okay? I love how it's portrayed as Jesus is standing there and he's talking to the family about Lazarus. And I don't know if you've ever not made it to a funeral, but maybe you could go back to the cemetery after the funeral. And a lot of times you just, if you will, reminisce is a poor word for that. If you will, you commiserate together about what the family has been through. And maybe you're standing at the gravesite. And Jesus said, Lazarus is going to rise again. And one of his sisters said, well, we know that he'll rise again at the last day because they believed in the resurrection. And Jesus looked at her in John 11, 25, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I have preached that verse many times, and I absolutely believe it, but it never occurred to me until the last 2 or 3 years, it occurred to me that I think Jesus was almost saying that verse in offense. That he's standing there, they need a miracle, and voila, here I am. It's like if you're standing at the mall and you're lost. Picture this. Nothing worse than being lost at the mall. I'd like to say nothing worse than being at the mall. But anyway, if you're lost at the mall and you wonder where you are and you're crying for help and you're looking for the patrol cop or whoever it is, but you're standing right in front of the sign that says you are here. If you just look at the sign that says you are here, it would tell you where you are in the mall. You follow my frustration. Or consider this. Let's say that you were on the side of the road and you had a flat tire. Let's say you're driving a 2016 Chevrolet Suburban. I'm only saying that because that's what I drive, okay? And so my wife and I pull up and we see you beside the road and the temptation is to wave when we go by, but we stop. And so we pull up and as we're pulling up beside that and you've got your 2016 Chevrolet Suburban and we have ours and we jump out and someone is there so distraught, wringing their hands. I wish we had a tire. I wish we had a tire. And so I go over to my Suburban and I take the spare tire out of it and I'm standing there with it and I'm holding the tire only for that person to continue to say, I wish we had a tire. I wish we had a tire. I've got a tire right here, you moron. Look at me. Wouldn't that be kind of frustrating? Flashback. Jesus is standing in the cemetery. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. They look at Jesus and they said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But we believe whatever you say right now, you can make it happen. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm right here. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And then he said Somebody roll that stone away. And one of the girls said, oh, you can't do that. He stinketh. That's a sign that he's been dead for too long. He stinketh. King James, I love that. And so that did not bother Jesus Christ, because when he speaks, there's power in his voice. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Some preacher correctly said, if he'd not said Lazarus and just said, come forth, every dead zombie in that cemetery would have come walking out. And I believe that. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes this guy who'd been dead 4 days, walking out of there. The Bible says his grave clothes were still on him. Let me tell you something. The resurrection says the impossible can become possible when you believe. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it guy. I'm not going there. That's not my point. But I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ is alive and well, he has shown that anything is possible in a life. Number one, what's the resurrection do for people in the year 2021? It makes the impossible possible. Number two, darkness is dispelled. You can see clearly. Jesus said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I don't want to pursue or take you down any particular trails this morning, but I'm telling you, there are some confusing things going on in life. There are times people will come to me as a pastor of this church and looking for answers that I do not have the answers to, humanly speaking. But I want you to know that my God in heaven has the answers. And he said, if you'll believe in me, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth in me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, I believe in Christianity as I believe in the rising of the sun. Not simply because I can see it, but because by it I see everything else. I'm going to say that one more time. I believe in Christianity as I believe in the rising of the sun. Not simply because I can see it, but because by it I see everything else. And I want you to know a relationship with Jesus Christ, when he's your friend, when you get into his word and you get to know him, he sheds a light on the world that no one else has. And when you look at world events through the lens of Christianity and the events that this book tells us will happen, can happen, I think there's a song my mother told me, there'd be days like this, there'd be days like this, my mama said. You ever hear that one? You didn't learn that in Sunday school, but it's out there. I want you to know our Bible tells us there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, my Bible said. And because of that, you and I can look at the world in a lens that the world does not have. And the world is out there. For instance, if a dog could talk, we have a dog. Fancy. My wife named it. I like the name Fancy. I don't necessarily like the dog at times, but I like the name. And that dog, when she was younger, she doesn't do it so much anymore, but the dog liked to chase her tail. Did you ever see a dog chase his tail? And they'll get that, and they'll just be so fascinated with that tail that's right in front of them. And they'll go around, 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 and around. And if a dog could talk, I'd like to ask that dog, how's that working for you? You know? And you know, the world is chasing its tail. They're going around and around and around and around, and it's what I would call circular suicide. Because they're going around until their death. D.L. Moody correctly said this, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he said, we talk about this place as the land of the living. We are among the living. We are. That's not wrong. We are among the living. We're in the land of the living. Those that have passed on or already gone there no longer, we would say, among the living. That is correct. But as a Christian, let me submit this to you, and I think this makes sense to me. We are not in the land of the living. We are in the land of the dying. We are going to the land of the living. Because every one of us are a day closer to the grave than we were yesterday. And it could be today. And it's because of that, that we recognize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And the events that are going on in this life and the doctor's appointments and all of those things. And an old preacher, I can remember one time, he was at a funeral, and he said, if you want to know how old you are. He said, you can tell if you're winning or losing by how many pills you're taking today versus how many pills you were taking last year. And I think my dad's up to like 18 a day. I don't know the number. It doesn't really matter. Once you get past a dozen, I mean, that's pretty much. You can tell you're not winning. We're not in the land of the living. We're in the land of the dying, but we're heading to the land of the living in Christ. If you're not in Christ, this is your land of the living, and this is all you get. And I don't know about you, but I believe there's something greater than this place here. And because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the impossible becomes possible. The light shines on a dark world that the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the plan that he has for my life, the obstacles and the roadblocks and the bumps in the road that you and I encounter on a regular basis just show us that our God in heaven has something better planned than this. And he's large and he's in charge. The impossible becomes possible. Number two, the darkness is dispelled. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I don't think we have to talk very long or look at too many local newspapers this year. Do you think they're preaching fear out there? They think you want you to be afraid. Fear, 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 fear. And they want the government to be God so you'll bow and pray to them. You can like it or not, but that's what's going down. And I choose to bow and pray to Jesus Christ. A year ago, we couldn't even meet together. My 2 weeks of flatten the curve is over. I'm all for getting together and worshiping God Almighty and let him take care of the bends in the road, the curve overhead, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, it's time for God's people to get together and worship God Almighty and let him shine the light on the events of the world. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes. You get that for free. Without the light of Christ, the world has no hope, no purpose, no reason for existence. All man-made reasoning becomes circular suicide. You'll be a dog chasing your own tail until you die. Don't go there. And lastly, and this is exciting to me, the impossible becomes possible, darkness is dispelled, and our greatest foe, number three, our greatest foe and fear is put on notice. Now, I said I'd go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we're going now. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 20, and that is on page 1226 if you're using a pew Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's what we're celebrating today. Christ rose from the dead. Verse 21, for since by man came death, that man was Adam. By Adam, death came. He chose sin. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's where we're at today. We are all dying. For as by Adam, for one man came death, also by one man came also the resurrection of the dead. That man is Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits at the resurrection, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So we saw Christ prove you can come back from the dead, no matter how dead you are. Now, the Bible says, there's also going to be a resurrection when Christ comes back because he's coming back. Say that with me. He's coming back. Knowing he's coming back when he does come back, 1 Thessalonians says there's going to be this great resurrection that will happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the next resurrection that will be taking place. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26 is where we're going, right here. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Did you hear that? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let's all say that together. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Someone say hallelujah. That can't be soon enough. I've stood over too many caskets. I've said goodbye to too many loved ones. I hate death. And Jesus is going to kill it one of these days. That's good news. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death, you are on notice. Our greatest foe and fear is put on notice. And I have decided that honestly, what's worse than death? That's about it. Kind of closes things off. I guess if you looked online, you could see somebody, they don't look that dead, but they're too dead. We can fix people up and make them presentable after they're dead, but they're dead. I don't know how else to say it. But the beauty is that in Christ, that is not the end for the Christian. It's not over. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Can I say that? Am I not supposed to say that? Or it ain't over till it's over. Well, for Christ, he is putting death on notice that death itself will die. There will be no more death. And so 1 Corinthians 15 goes to verse number 54. And it says, so when this corruptible, that's our bodies, hath put on incorruption, that's eternal life, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the victory, is a song we used to sing. You have victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. And the chorus is victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen? I don't know of a more exciting topic to talk about than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's like this. There are participators and there are spectators. And when you talk about the resurrection, and you talk about the story of Christ and what he's done, that he died on that cross to take your place because by sin separated us from God, and God wanted so much to bring us in accord with him. And to do that, God's law has to be fulfilled. God makes no exceptions. And so in doing so, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his world into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So this morning, Jesus Christ is here in this room in the form of the Holy Spirit through his word, and he's presenting himself to you as your Savior. When you see him next time, he will be your judge. There's a huge difference. Right now, he has died to take your place. And he is begging you to trust him, to believe in him, to invite him into your heart. Because the time will come when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And when that takes place, the call for you to get saved and come is over. That day comes for a call of judgment when you will be judged on whether you chose him as your Savior. And this morning, there is still time. So you can be here this morning and you can be a participator. Stan Griffin, a participator in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or, sad to say, there are people in this room that are just spectators. You've watched the singing. Maybe you even sang along. You've watched me partially make a fool of myself. No problem. I will do anything to get your attention, to get you to choose Jesus Christ. But you can watch and you can, or you can participate. You can watch the parade go by and wave, or you can become part of the parade, that procession following Jesus Christ, and trust him as your Savior, because those things are worth living for. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness this morning. God, I pray that every person here wants to be a participator in the gospel story, that we're not just going to watch and think about it and ponder, but today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. God, I pray that folks would be willing to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. The resurrection is the greatest story that's ever been told, because you died in our place and you came back to life. And yes, there's a chance someday that this old body will die, but that new man in Christ that you've given me will live forever. And someday Stan Griffin will lay in a casket, but I will not be dead. I will be in the presence with you, just like you told that thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, and he was.